podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,000 high-quality online courses and training videos, all for one low monthly price. To try it free for 7 days, visit Lynda.com/AllAboutAndroid. That's LYNDA.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. Hello and welcome to the first episode of All About Android of 2014. This is episode 143, recorded on Tuesday, January 7th, 2014. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Gina Trapani.
Welcome
back.
Happy
New Year.
Happy New Year, Gina. Welcome back, man. You've had a crazy December, crazy month.
I have traveled cross country and landed on the East Coast. It is 8 p.m. here. It is extremely cold, but I'm happy to be here. I'm thrilled to be back on the show. I really, really miss my Twit family. So
yeah, we've missed you too. Obviously, Aaron Newcomb stepped in and attempted to fill your shoes. Aaron is awesome. He was a champ, man. He did 4 episodes in December, and you know, he always rocks it when he's on the episode. But we are thrilled to have you back, Gina.
I got to send that guy a couple of Raspberry Pis to thank him.
I'm sure he put those to good use, actually. And we are super thrilled to welcome onto the show as well, Daniel Leetson, Miwa founder.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here with
you. Right on. Well, you actually, just to kind of reveal right off the top, I arrived to work yesterday. And found one of these. What am I looking at here? I'll open it and you talk about it.
This product was inspired by the show, actually by you, Ron, and Gina. I was sitting working on a project that I hope to discuss a little bit later in the show. And I was working on my desk, and you and Ron were talking. And basically, Ron said, I think it was Ron. He said, you know, the maker community is really becoming popular. And I'm sitting there working on my desk on basically designing a PCB for a device. And things are slipping around, and I'm like, I really wish I had a mat, and I kept using my mouse pad and going over. But and when Ron said that, I just said, I got to make a bigger one, and
yeah,
there it is. So this is the Maker Mat, and I made one for All About Android.
I know. I was like, awesome. What? I don't understand the connection. But now, you know, and I'm trying, like, to go back in my brain and remember
it
which
was,
episode
yeah,
we would have.
It was mid-August. It was just like a fleeting moment.
Yeah,
and
okay.
It all clicked at once. And,
that's awesome.
You know, I registered the domain on hover.com, and then I actually used 99 Designs to create the logo for MakerMat. So, you know.
Fantastic.
So it's all in the family.
That is awesome. No, and it's awesome. It's actually at my desk, and I've been using it the last couple of days. And I was saying in the pre-show, like, the desks that we have here aren't necessarily the best work desks in the world. They look really nice.
Yeah.
But they have all these crevices and stuff like that. And when I came and saw this here, I was like, oh, thank you. Answer to my prayers, because, I don't know, the headaches with the old desk, and it's very comfortable now. So,
well, it's really, it's yeah, you're welcome. It's really been a pleasure to make it, and Leah was very kind enough to show it on Twit this past week, and we're really pleased with the support. So, thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're stoked to bring you on. We're not just bringing you on because of the MakerMat stuff. You actually have something that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes that I think. Just all the, you know, developers in particular, but anyone interested in Android might be interested in. So
great.
We'll be talking about that. That's Miwa. We're also going to be discussing the Open Auto Alliance. Just a ton of CES, Consumer Electronics Show hardware that's been announced. Just a lot of stuff. And by the way, yes, you're not seeing things. Ron is not here this week. He unfortunately had to bow out for this week. He will be back next week, and then we'll have the Gina, Ron, Jason trio back.
Oh, yeah.
Back
band
as
will be
related.
Back together.
That's
yeah.
Right. The band will be back together for a good.
They inspire football. Everything all together.
But let's get right into the news. All right, so this is kind of interesting. The Open Automotive Alliance. It's a new initiative announced by Google along with NVIDIA, as well as car makers Audi, GM, and Hyundai. Google is hoping to do for the car what it has already done for smartphones by offering an open development model and common platform, so automakers can basically bring this technology to cars in a safe and scalable way. Now, NVIDIA didn't reveal necessarily how they were specifically involved, except to say that they see the car as the obvious next platform of choice for technological innovation after, I think they said, the desktop, you know, the tablets, desktop, all that kind of stuff. Automobile would be next. Audi showed off their 10.2-inch tablet that's designed for in-car use. I think it's kind of, you know, kind of on the end of the announcement. I don't know if it's necessarily directly related to this, but kind of in a strange sort of way. They have the mobile Audi smart display. It connects to the vehicle via Wi-Fi, controls infotainment system as a fully featured tablet as well, of course, running Android. And I thought this was interesting. Designed for crash resistance and extreme temperatures, which I suppose if you're keeping a device like this in your automobile,
That's
probably a good thing.
Yeah. Summer heat. And
yeah, absolutely.
Winter cold in Minnesota.
Absolutely. And then, you know, also worth noting here, Apple did this actually in 2012 as well, announcing their own partnerships with a bunch of auto manufacturers, BMW, GM, Toyota, Audi, Honda, to name a few. So not as many hopping on the bandwagon of the Open Automotive Alliance, but Google's hoping that this is going to become kind of a bigger deal, kind of a movement of some sort. What I'm wondering is, do we want cars tied to one OS, or do we just want cars to work with all OSs?
Personally, I'm thrilled to see this because in China, most of the cars that we have there are running on Windows CE, if you can believe that. The GPS and the displays are all running on Windows CE, and they're crashing all the time. And the idea of having Android in the car, I think, is a welcome experience for drivers. Plus, you're able to sync it with your devices and have everything work, and compatibility won't be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And NVIDIA is a very powerful processor, and I think it's a good choice.
Absolutely. What do you think? Would you have needed this on your cross-country drive from San Diego to New York?
So I should say, like, I don't have a whole lot of experience with cars. The car that I've had the last 5 years is, like, this really, really old, has no computers in it at all, I don't think. So I don't have a whole lot of experience with this except for the zip cars that I rent occasionally. But the tablet, so I feel like cars have kind of the similar situation to smart TVs in that I don't necessarily want my TV to be smart, but I like the idea that I can plug whatever I want into it and that it'll work. So I kind of feel like, so like this tablet, I assume this is a tablet that you sort of mount in your car and keep there and then it interfaces with the car. I like the idea of being able to upgrade the components separately from the car because I'm going to have a car for a long time, longer maybe than I'm going to have a phone or a tablet because I'm just not the kind of person to buy a new car every year, every couple of years. So I just want my car to work with everything.
Agreed.
And I don't want to think about what operating system my car runs the way I do my computer or my phone or my tablet.
Yeah. And I mean, just as far as Android in the car specifically, like I completely agree. Whatever device you have, if there's the smart capability, it should work with the car. But really, for very selfish reasons, I just want my Android to have smart connectivity.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I want the big picture, but selfishly, I want Android to work because right now, like, it's just, it just kind of sucks. Like, yes, you can plug it into the headphone and maybe you can connect through Bluetooth, but some of the advanced things that you want to do with, like, in-dash head units and you know, as well as going deeper and just connecting to kind of the underworkings of your car, it's pretty difficult to do that with Android right
Plus,
now.
There's no license fee, to develop for that. So that's a great thing for auto manufacturers. They don't have to cover the license fee that they might use if they use an operating system that for Microsoft or even Apple.
Right. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this is a sign of things to come. The Open Auto Alliance has a similarity to the Open Handset Alliance just by name and recognition. And if that's the case, I'm a little, not skeptical, but I'm a little hesitant. I hope that it has a better fate than the Open Handset Alliance.
Yes, that's caused problems. And that actually
is more effective.
Yeah.
And then, Gina, there hasn't been a whole lot of news outside of CES and everything, but I thought this was interesting. What is Samsung up to?
Yeah, so EvLeaks, at EvLeaks, at EvLeaks on Twitter, who often leaks lots of very high-quality information that turns out to be true, tells us that Samsung is working on a new Android home screen mock-up and actually released screenshots of these mock-ups, which I have to say are pretty good-looking. We have got three screenshots here. We've got a new kind of graphical treatment of the voice search icon, weather, and location. The lock screen has a map route with estimated journey times. There are these kind of wide widgets for news and social networks, wide kind of horizontal flat widgets. Really, really nice. Much needed overhaul to TouchWiz if this actually turns out to be true. I would like to see this. I'd like to see this come to pass. And in fact, I'd like to see it in the Play Store so that you can get it on any device, not just Samsung devices.
I doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah, just... I know. I like to dream. A girl can dream.
Yeah. So wait, but that's kind of major right there. You would want, or you would opt for, a Samsung launcher, which, you know, a lot of people, you know, there are definite fans of Samsung and that love TouchWiz and everything. Personally, and I'm sure it's no surprise on the show, I'm not a huge fan of TouchWiz, but primarily that's because I feel like they kind of locked into their design aesthetic many versions ago and really haven't brought it into the current kind of KitKat or even Jelly Bean world. It still looks in many ways kind of gingerbreadish.
Correct.
And so if they kind of update that, then maybe I'd feel a little bit differently about it. But I think a lot of people have kind of, you know, poo-pooed on TouchWiz and, you know, want very badly to install a launcher to get it off. Gina, you're saying that you would actually possibly install this Samsung TouchWiz launcher onto your device.
I would try it. I'm more pro the idea that they would make it open to everyone and not necessarily just ship it on their devices. Although I understand that for a manufacturer, that's a way to sell their device, to make it a certain look and feel for their device and say, this is a Samsung device. But I do like the idea of manufacturers releasing their sort of take on Android to everyone in the Play Store. I think that that's one way to sort of win over fans and users. I'm not saying that I have a lot of hope that this launcher is going to be amazing, although these screenshots, let's just give them credit. I mean, TouchWiz aside, these screenshots actually look kind of promising and similar to a couple apps that we'll talk later on about. Definitely leaning toward the Google Now-ish, you know, tell you what you need to know, where you are, given signals that your phone has based on your location and time of day and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cool. And EvLeaks has a pretty darn good track record as far as this kind of stuff is concerned. So potentially with the S5. Possibly.
Who knows? I agree with Gina, though. It's a good idea for them to release it because it could give people a taste of what Samsung's about as far as their hardware is concerned. So.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the key right there is that Samsung is so into embedding their software into their specific build of hardware that, you know, releasing a launcher that anybody could get...
it's actually difficult too because compatibility as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you take on a development burden, right? That you wouldn't otherwise. They're definitely taking the Apple route of like release the software with the hardware and they come together and that's what the package is. But I like to see, you know, Google starting to set this precedent of releasing, you know, put parts of it to the Play Store, you know, the different components of the operating system. And I just like to see if manufacturers could get better at software. The only way they're going to get better at software is if they get more users and that, you know, they get more people who are running it even just on their own devices. So again, wish list, you know, just a kind of wish, a dream, an optimistic hope, probably not going to happen. That said, the screenshots look nice and certainly an upgrade from TouchWiz.
I would agree completely. So Daniel, you're here partially because of the Maker Mat, but I'd say even more than that, what you showed me yesterday was kind of piqued my interest, and it revolves around what you've called Miwa, and it's an Android open source community that's based, you say, based on a hardware design project. It's probably better for you to describe it than for me. So what is Miwa all about?
Well, I originally started about a year ago when I was looking for how to get my games from Android on the television, and this was prior to Chromecast coming out. And since I spend most of my time in China, we just made a trip to Shenzhen and we went to talk to some of the design houses down there. And over the last year, we've been really working with them, trying to come up with a solution to get, you know, those products, which are very innovative, and there's various different types of processors in China, different sock fabricators, system on a chip. And we're working with Rockchip, which they sold 50 million units last year. And what they have done is we have an agreement with them, which basically allows us to open their SDK, which we're doing as of tomorrow. And we need a little bit of help on that with a Git. So if there are any qualified developers out there, please get me on Google Plus and voice your interest. And I'd love to talk to you. But to the point, and this is the consideration that I spoke to you about yesterday, there is no certification process for these types of devices when it comes to Google. So what we have is a problem with innovation that is taking place in a sector, an emerging market, but you can't get it to market because it's technically illegal, because there's no certification like GMS certification for mobile devices, because the Play Key, or what we're calling the Play Key, the Miwa Play Key, is a device, an HDMI device similar to the Chromecast. And the essentially, these are separate devices, and they're all coming from Shenzhen. So we're not going to necessarily say we're going to be one Play Key. We want to give developers the choice. So it's not just an open SDK. We're planning on designing a device with the community, the actual hardware itself. This is similar to how Xiaomi has introduced their hardware in China, which has been extremely successful. And if you don't know who Xiaomi is where Hugo Barra from Google recently went over to work with them. So what you're looking at right now are just some prototype designs for our mold that would be coming up potentially. But the reason why I'm here is to voice the concern that there needs to be a certification process for these devices. That way we're able to go through a compatibility test with Google and then be able to import these into this market.
Yeah, because like you told me yesterday, like smartphones, obviously you can get that certification, and what does that give you? That gives you access to all the Google apps. It gives you access to the Play Store for app distribution, all that kind of thing. And they require certain things out of your device in order to get that certification. And, you know, devices like these, the dongle kind of series of devices, which Google has their own solutions for, right? They have the Chromecast dongle. Don't have those kind of features that would allow it to be cleared in those ways. So what you're talking about is a separate kind of a way to separately clear just different form factors. And that, you know, when you were telling me that yesterday, I was like, you know, that's an interesting problem that I just had not considered. Like, I understand why Google wants to limit it on this form factor, on the smartphone or the tablet form factor. But you're right. The Android's appearing in all of these other form factors now.
Right.
And for all of those form factors to then be limited and eliminated from the possibility of being cleared, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, actually, this fails when we go through GMS certification, the compatibility test suite. You get to a point where it will fail because it doesn't have a camera or a microphone. So it can't go through the process. So what we need is a new certification.
Exactly. So interesting.
I really appreciate you letting me tell people about that.
No, I think it's a true problem. What do you think?
A few things came to mind. First, for me, was that Google TV, right, is like the first time that we've seen an interface for Google apps on a big screen from afar. And I also was thinking about Ouya a little bit, right, because that's an Android-based gaming console.
Right.
You know, part of me thinks, well, is the GMS certification doesn't cover devices like this because Google itself hasn't figured out what it expects that big screen, you know, experience to be. And I don't know, you know, I wonder if that's about them having, I mean, even the Chromecast is just about throwing a tab really up onto the, or a video stream up onto the TV. You know, there's not much of an app, like an app kind of interaction the way that I imagine the GMS test suite goes through. And also the Chromecast, is the Chromecast considered an Android device? It's kind of a hybrid, right? I mean, it's certainly marketed as Chrome just from the name. So I don't really have a question. I've been thinking about how this is all connected and how this is, I mean, this is a very young sort of area of hardware, I think. But I love the Chromecast and I would love to see more dongles. And I even believe the Ouya started out from what I remember hearing, kind of started out, the early prototypes were just kind of a dongle that you just plug into your TV and use.
That's correct. Yeah, from what I understand, it was. There were some problems early on with these devices. The obviously because of the innovation taking place in China, not having the connection with Google, they were struggling to get stability. Mm-hmm. So these devices are stable, running Jelly Bean. So it's 4.2.2. They're coming out right now with KitKat, but you're going to have about 6 month period where it's not going to be so stable.
Right.
And most of the apps that everybody enjoys are already on Jelly Bean and they work very well with it.
Sure.
And if you haven't experienced, Android on your television, it's a truly remarkable experience. I know that most people think about, Android on their tablets and phones, but
Right, and Android on TV being Google TV, which is a different kind of user interface. Now, you have it plugged into our HDMI, so you can kind of show off a little bit of what you're talking about, right?
So right now what we're looking at is just a customized UI that I've done with apps from the Play Store. So, obviously all of these apps are common to everybody. You can see it, and of course the Twit Pro app. But this is HD Widgets, which is made by Cloud TV that I've customized. Also, if I click desk mode, it will open up Dayframe, which is like the Daydream. And if you haven't seen Dayframe on your HD TV, it really is beautiful. If it can load.
Well, that's I blame our Wi-Fi.
That's the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. It commonly wreaks havoc on the demonstrations.
Yeah, that's just whenever you give a demo, everything doesn't work, right?
Pretty much.
But you got Twit Live, you've got HBO Go, Netflix, all of the popular ones. But the key also is that you also can have CheapCast, which is the same functionality that you get in Chromecast minus Netflix and HBO Go.
But you're already getting Netflix and HBO Go through the app.
Precisely. And obviously Plex you can also cast as well. So, but the point of Miwa, getting back to it, is to basically allow us to start having a platform that we can start creating UI and not limit that to just Google.
Mm-hmm.
So the device itself is ready to ship. We could have the factory just gear up and, send a whole bunch here. But legally, I can't import that with the Play Store on there. Now, the developers might tell me, that's not necessary. Let's get this thing going and we'll create our own. And that's what Ouya basically did.
Mm-hmm.
They created their own ecosystem and their own Play Store. But I think that, Google is such a powerhouse. It would be great if we could create a certification process for this type of device. That way, we can open up the innovation to other people that are trying to get into markets.
Sure. Absolutely. I think it's a great effort. What can people? Is there something that people that are watching can do to
people some point of action? That, I've been working on this a year, and I've been working on this by myself exclusively. And people have asked me, why haven't you done a Kickstarter yet? And really, there have been other people that have done that, and they've gone out there, and I've watched them raise quite a bit of money, but I've known that they can't go into market with it. So it's a little questionable.
So it's kind of a false.
So what I did is I went to Shenzhen and I partnered with the design houses there and I created an agreement with Rockchip, opened their SDK, so it's available. So really what I want right now is developers to come in and help us in leadership positions. So if you're a developer out there and you're interested in starting a computer company,
no big deal.
No big deal.
Just starting a computer company.
Get me on Google Plus. I would love to work with you and we can start the process, and if all goes well, maybe we can raise some capital and see where this goes. But for now, it's just basically a pet project of mine that I want to bring concern to it so that people realize that Google's not the only player in this market and shouldn't be.
Yeah. No, and it kind of speaks to what we're seeing in what we're talking about earlier, the Open Auto Alliance. Like, Google understands and Google knows that there are so many ways that Android can be useful outside of just your smartphone and your tablet.
Yes.
Not to mention just Android in general is more or less, and maybe this is up for debate, but more or less an open platform. So that enables you to do so much with it. These different form factors, we hear more and more about them.
Yes.
And it certainly makes sense to me. That there should be some sort of official way to bring those to market and have them be compatible in the ways that you expect on your other devices.
That's great.
So, yeah, awesome.
Have you talked to the Cyanogen gentleman about?
Not yet. This is literally the first time that I've spoken to everybody. I just wanted to have everything ready before I announced it, so that's why it seems like I haven't. But the thing is, you bring up Cyanogen. It's a perfect example because they had to get GMS certified too, and that's why they partnered with Oppo. So their new device is basically GMS certified, and it's their first one. And it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And their UI is great. And it's a perfect example of what people can do when they come together and open, in an open environment and to create the product itself. And Oppo is a very good and popular Chinese manufacturer. So I would support what CyanogenMD is doing, and I would love for them to come on board with MIWA. And if not only for the purpose of just engaging the design houses that we have a relationship with. And Rockchip is an amazing processor. And the fact that they're open to openness. I was told several times before I went to talk with them that there was no way that they were going to open. And when I spoke to their marketing director, he explained to me what the problem was with their openness. And it had nothing to do with the fact that they didn't want to share the code or anything. It basically had to do with the cultural issues where they could not support the community. So what we've done in MIWA is I've set up a forum. I've set up a website. If you go to connect.miwaplay.com, you can actually see the forum there. It's ready to be used, so to speak. So the infrastructure is set up. Logistics is set up. Manufacturing is ready. Basically, what we need right now is leadership roles. So again, if you're a developer and you're interested in this project, please contact us. Me on Google Plus, and we can see what we can do together.
And for the audio listeners on Google Plus, you are plus Daniel Leetzan, Leetzan.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Cool.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. This is a very interesting topic. Thanks for kind of bringing all the visual candy as well to kind of show off. That's great. So that is MIWA, MIWA. Check it out. At connect.miwaplay.com. So we have a lot more show coming up here, but let's take a quick break and thank our first sponsor of today's episode, Lynda, lynda.com. It's an online learning company that can help anyone learn creative software and business skills to achieve both personal as well as professional goals. It's a fantastic site, man. The content on this site just blows me away. With a lynda.com subscription, members receive unlimited access to a vast library of current as well as engaging video tutorials across a wide variety of subjects, everything from creative to software skills, business negotiating, app development. With Lynda.com, you'll learn how to code, create, and build Android applications in Java from the foundations of object-oriented Java programming all the way to using the Android API to creating engaging mobile apps there. Learn to improve your language skills with JavaScript, Ruby, C, C++, R, so much more. Just all sorts of ways to learn how to be a developer, how to be a great developer, and understand all of the many facets that are there. Developing for desktop as well as mobile platforms. It's all there. I am not a developer, but I've spent a lot of time on Lynda because I'm a passionate music guy, checking out courses on music, studio setup, and acoustics because we're moving to a new house. I'm going to have to set up my studio there, so I want the acoustics to be right. They have this fascinating inside look at live sound engineering techniques with Rush, if you're a fan or if you're not a fan. It's still pretty cool to get a backstage pass and see how they set all this stuff up. And just between those two examples, development and music production, you can see that their content is vast. They just have so much stuff, and it's all fascinating. It's all really detailed. They have over 2,000 courses, new courses added daily. And you can follow along. You can just hit play on the video and watch, or you can go down to their transcripts. They have transcripts that basically break out the entire video. So if you find or you're searching for a specific thing, in this example for GarageBand, and you want to find, a virtual amp or cabinet or whatever, you can do a search, and it's going to take you right to that point in the video based on the transcript and start playing from there. So it makes it really easy to kind of reference certain parts that might be useful to whatever you happen to be doing. It's curated course content. Each Lynda.com course is carefully structured so that you can learn from start to finish or jump to a specific chapter. And the videos are just really easy to follow along to give you the answers that you need. Like I said, it's all searchable, and it's just incredibly useful. You can add them to your own personal playlist. You can sort them so you can kind of bookmark videos and courses that you can come back to later. And it's just super useful, and it's all technical information that's very handy. Watch from your computer, your tablet, your mobile device. You can switch and pick up on the chapter where you left off. It doesn't matter. Learn at your own pace on your own schedule. That's the important part. So here's what you can do. It's only $25 a month for access to the entire Lynda.com course library. $25 a month for all of their videos. It's crazy. Or for $37.50 a month, you can subscribe to the premium plan. And this actually includes more. It includes exercise files that let you follow along with the instructors using the same project assets that they do. It's literally you're learning from the pros based on the files that they're using to show you how to do all this stuff. It's crazy access. You can try lynda.com. That's LYNDA.com right now with a free 7-day trial. So, you know, use this trial, get on there, watch as many movies and videos and courses as you want, learn as much as you can in 7 days. And it's all free, right? Visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid to access that entire library. That's over 2,000 courses for free for 7 days. Pretty awesome stuff. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. I'm super thrilled to have Lynda on board as a sponsor of All About Android because I just love their work and love their tutorials.
Fantastic.
Super useful stuff. Lynda.com, check it out. All right, CES Roundup in hardware.
Oh boy, we got a lot here.
I know. That hardware bumper, every time I see it now, I just want to cry. We really. I know somebody is somebody told me a while back that in his spare time he's working on it, and I've seen his past work, and it's awesome. I will reach out and see where you're at because, man, this hardware bumper needs a refresh.
Time for an upgrade.
Thanks, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. There's a Zoom. Yeah, running Honeycomb, by the way.
well, it's like a historic, you know.
Yeah, there's a, what is that? Is that the Hero? Or
that is like that's an HTC.
I'm pretty sure that's the Hero running HTC Sense. A little dated.
Honeycomb is the most unfortunate, possible. It was like the fork, the bird. anyway.
What you going to do? We're not graphic designers.
It's true. We're not.
We roll with what we got.
All right. First up for a CES hardware roundup, we've got Asus or Asus, you know, whichever you like. Bringing the PadPhone X to the U.S. on AT&T. This is a 5-inch phone that docks into a 9-inch tablet shell. I really like this. It's like pizza wrapped in a taco. I love it.
Stuffed
crust pizza. Runs 4.4 KitKat. No release or price yet. And it's a 1080p screen on the 5-inch phone. The PadPhone Mini is coming to the U.S. for $249. This is a smaller version with a 4-inch phone docked into a 7-inch tablet. And Asus also announced the Transformer Book Duet TD300. This is a notebook that can operate as either a Windows 8.1 tablet notebook or an Android tablet notebook with instant switch. Intel i7 4GB RAM. You can switch operating systems with the click of a button. Instant switch technology. And that will be $599. These are all really weird gadgets, but also kind of cool that they're possible.
I know. Asus is good like that.
Yeah, they are. Do you want your phone wrapped in a tablet, Jason or Daniel?
I'm not sure.
That bezel looks pretty big on the tablet, don't you think?
I actually did not pay attention to the bezel. I was too locked into watching the phone fit into the back of the tablet and going, especially the Mini, right? The Mini is like a 4-inch into a 7-inch tablet. Not the hugest bump up, but
yes.
I always applaud Asus for doing these wacky things because I think it's cool that that these aren't just like sideshow relics in a back room that's like, oh, and check out this other thing that we did that you'll never see. Like, they're actually doing those things and then they're releasing them. Yeah. I don't know how successful they are, but it's cool that you can actually get this if you so choose.
I really want to slide a phone into that tablet. Like, I want to hold the two devices and slide one into the other. I just want to experience the physicality of that.
Yeah, like, does it
one device into another.
Does it give you a satisfying, like, click-lock into place? Like,
Yeah, exactly. Do you have to really kind of... I think about my daughter's like little tray for her high chair. Like, I can never get it quite to click in, you know?
Right.
Is it going easy or... I don't know. I kind of want to know. So maybe it was successful in at least piquing my curiosity.
Well, and this is different too because the PadPhone in the past has been a curiosity, at least here in the States. It's been released elsewhere throughout the world. So yes, even you may have experienced the PadPhone, whoever you may be watching or listening to the show. Us here in the States, we haven't had that opportunity. And with the PadPhone X and the PadPhone Mini, it appears, at least with the PadPhone X. I don't know about the Mini. The Mini might not. No, it is as well coming to the U.S. So we'll have the opportunity to do that.
I see.
We'll
see. Keep them separated.
Yeah. Yes. Nice. Thank you for putting that into my brain.
Yeah.
Now I have that song.
And we didn't even talk about the duet to the Android Windows.
Oh yes, of course.
Scooter notebook tablet. That's also sort of a wonder of modern technology. I love the idea that's possible, but also like pressing a button to switch between Windows and Android. Ah.
Like hot switching between the two OSs. No, Daniel, no.
I just don't. I mean, I've run Windows 8.1 on a developer machine. I don't know. I just like Android separated. I just don't see.
You
don't
really do just want to keep it separated.
I do.
Okay.
Want to keep them separated. Yes, please.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things that's like, well, if you can, then why not? But I'm not sure personally how much utility I would have in my daily life. But I guess, hey, if you're buying it, then you're going to find utility for it.
It's a good way to determine which one you like best, I guess, if you have them so close together. Like, I'm using this one more than that one. This one wins.
Right.
Right.
Double the operating system and app updates, double the fun. Why not?
Yeah, that's true. A separate updates for both sides. Cool. You never know which is current, which is not. So then there was Samsung. So Samsung announced three new tablets at CES, although basically it's like a new tablet in three different sizes, essentially. It's the Galaxy Tab Pro series. Comes in the 12, the 10, and the 8-inch, more or less, configuration. I'm missing a few decibels in there, but that's all right. Complete with leathery backing that we've already seen on the Note 3. 2560 by 1600 resolution on all three sizes. So I imagine that means that the 8 would look incredibly sharp. And the 12 is probably going to look reasonably sharp. 2560 by 16 is probably going to look okay. LTE, HSPA, radios. And I thought this was interesting. So, Brian, if you could show my product camera. Here we have a 7-inch Samsung tablet, and you see down here, this is just pretty common with Samsung devices. You get the little menu button, you get the back, the hard, you know, the hard button, and then the menu button. With these new devices, that menu button is gone. It's now a multitasking button, which I think is long overdue.
Finally.
Thank you, Samsung.
Yeah.
That's great. Running KitKat, all three launch later this quarter, and I don't believe we have prices on those yet. So, yeah. There you go. Samsung's three new Galaxy Tab Pro series tablets. Anyone get one? Yeah, yay.
My wife loves Samsung, and they're that's an impressive looking product. And you know the build quality is going to be great because it's coming from them. But I don't know. We'll see what the price is.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes it worth it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they make good tablet. I'm not going to buy one, but I'd recommend it to someone who really wants a good tablet. I'd say, all right, check out, you know, the Nexus. I don't know. I mean, I'm biased toward the Nexus for reasons, because I had them
for reasons.
You know, but I think Samsung is, you know, I'm not going to buy a Polaroid tablet. You know, I would go for a Samsung tablet before most other manufacturers.
Right. So let's see here. What else do we have? We have Sony.
Sony. Sony says that consumers want smaller devices, but they don't want fewer features. And that's their goal with the new Xperia Z1 Compact. This is on sale in February. It's a 4.3-inch phone running 4.3 at launch, Snapdragon 800, waterproof without requiring a cover on the headphone jack. That's kind of nice. LTE, NFC, 2300 mAh battery, 20 megapixel camera, 720p IPS LCD screen. Basically, high performance phone for people who want a smaller form factor, for small hands people who want to be able to slip in their pocket and not have it be a giant device. Looks good. Looks interesting.
Yeah, still.
I think this is a legitimate goal to make a smaller phone that does everything.
Yeah, I would completely agree. It's kind of, as phones have gotten bigger, they've become synonymous with kind of being the higher end, you know, phones, and the smaller phones have kind of been forgotten. And I think this makes perfect sense because there are still people that like the smaller device, and they don't want that to necessarily mean that they're getting an underpowered device. So make a smaller one. That's just as, you know, powerful as the bigger devices, I guess. Sony's kind of graphical UI, you know, their skin, I'm not a huge fan of, and it doesn't look like they've changed that a whole lot. But who knows? Maybe they will. I don't know. I never really enjoyed Sony's UI.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I can't figure out why I haven't bought one yet. It's just, I mean, Sony always had such a strong brand growing up, and you know, the fact that they do Android and their quality, their build of their devices is always so good. In fact, I was thinking about buying one, but when the Nexus 5 came out, I was like, nope.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
We're firmly in the Nexus world on this show.
Yes.
As some people in email continually point out, they're like, man, you guys got to get out of the Nexus world and realize that not everybody wants a Nexus. And it's totally true. It's totally true.
It is true.
Just real quick, since we're talking about smaller phones, we're moving. We got a new house and we're moving in a month to a new place. And so I've started to pack up. Thank you. I'm overwhelmed with stuff that I have to do for it. So it's like, congratulations, but
I understand.
Yes, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. Man.
People will say, are you excited? And you're like, yeah, excited to see my house stocked with boxes.
I know.
But anyway, continue.
And to find time to do that all outside of everything else. Anyway, so I was going through my office kind of packing up some stuff and came across my old Motorola Droid.
Oh.
The very first one, and fired it up, you know, just to be all sentimental and see how slow it was. And man, it was slow.
what was the OS on that? Gingerbread?
Mine? Yes. So it was Gingerbread. I have a rooted Droid, and who knows if the ROM that it died with was any good.
Oh,
I can't remember, you know, what the last ROM install I did on it, but yeah, it was really slow. Thank you, Brian. There you go. Never forget.
Wow,
it's crazy going back. It's crazy going back to your first device, and like, you know, the icons are tiny. And so when I read about this Sony phone, I just thought of my Motorola Droid. I'm like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go back to a smaller device.
We just retired the Nexus One.
Mm-hmm.
My wife gets the hand-me-downs. So she now has the Nexus
1.
She has the Nexus
1.
Yeah, she has the Nexus 4 now.
Okay, good. You know, good.
So I always get hard.
I get nostalgic about the Nexus 1. The Nexus 1 was a great device.
It was.
And of course the G1, just because of the age and the clunkiness, like it's the clunkiness of it. But the Nexus 1 was the first like Android device that I was like, oh, this is really beautiful. But you know, a lot of people love the Droid. I didn't love it. You could kind of slice cheese with the end of it. You know, I didn't like the end of it. But yeah, it is. It's weird. It's kind of cool actually to look back and be like, wow, look how far Android came so quickly.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to see how much it's come even in the last just 2 years.
Yeah.
Just 2 years' time, and it is by all accounts a completely different OS, you know, from look and operation.
And it's being put in everything now.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, nostalgia. How about an email?
This is a pretty good segue to this email.
I know. It kind of is, actually. didn't mean for that.
Robert writes in. He says, hey, AAA crew. I made a mistake with my last phone upgrade. I went with the free Samsung Charge. This decision was based on my finances at the time, but wanting to keep my unlimited data while transitioning to a 4G device. The new dropped prices for the Moto X Unlocked is quite appealing while allowing me to keep my unlimited data on Verizon. My concern is that similar to my Charge, currently stuck at Android 2.3, the Moto X will plateau and receive limited future support since I'm getting to the party late. Will the Moto X last me through the next 2 years? I think that 4.4 is a comfortable place to be, even for an extended period of time. But then again, so was Gingerbread at the time. Thanks for your feedback. And that's from Robert in Grovetown, Georgia. So, Robert.
Yeah, I feel like this is always the question, right? An Android device releases. Everybody hops on it right now. If you don't, then a screaming deal comes along for it like 4 or 5 months later. And 4 or 5 months doesn't seem like a lot. But when you think about the lifetime of updates on a device, some devices only get updated for a year, year and a half.
Yeah.
I think this is different with the Moto X probably. But, 4 or 5 months actually means you're only going to get updated for maybe a year.
Yeah.
And then, in a year's time, you're going to get to that 2.3 point that you got with the Charge where you're like, okay, this once used to be great. And now, like, shoot me. I can't
the
do
Moto
this
X
anymore.
Is a good bet, though. This is a good Moto
I would
X,
say so.
I think, is a good bet. And this one I tell you, Robert, I think you should go for it with the Moto X. Motorola is a Google company. I think the chances are good that it's going to get updated pretty well compared to third party manufacturers. But I think the reality is for every Android user, for all of us, there's always going to be new stuff that you don't get right away, or maybe that you don't get. There might be new software that you have to wait a little longer for, or that you don't get at all. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be new devices, and there are going to be new discounts. It's one of those things. When you buy a new Android phone, it's like you get excited about it, a new Android device, but you have to steel yourself for the next week or the next month there being something new. Now, the Moto X is $399 for everyone unlocked right now, which is a great price. Great announcement that we got. But, you know, Motorola is also holding a press conference. A press event is scheduled for January 14th. Now, I don't know if that means it's going to be a new device. Probably not. It probably means that the Moto X is going to get released. It's actually a European press event, so it'll probably the Moto Maker will probably get released there. But the point is that
just about time, by the way.
New device is gonna be like the perfect device for 2 years. It's kind of just sort of the reality of being an Android user. We bought my mother-in-law Moto G for the holidays, for Christmas, and she like connected to her Walmart, you know, family mobile cell plan. Totally works. She loves it, and I felt like, you know, the Moto G is obviously a lot less expensive than the Moto X, but you know, she loves it, and I felt like it was a good deal. So somewhere in your situation, Robert, I would say the Moto X is a perfectly good bet, but also like be prepared that there might be a better deal down the road.
No matter when you pull the trigger, a couple of months later, you're going to be like, dang it. Well, actually, we should ask our technical director, Brian Burnett, Cranky Hippo, who just got a Moto X not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago. What would your advice for Robert be?
Well, I was pretty much in the same boat, too. I was buying off contract so I could keep my unlimited data. My biggest concern with the Moto X is not so much software, because after 2 years, even if it's not getting updates, I might just root it, ROM it, put something else I like, which is basically what gave me crutches for my old phone.
You got the HTC Incredible to last a really long time. That's only because you rooted and ROM.
The only thing I'm kind of concerned about is the battery, because you can't remove it. And if I have to take it apart to remove the battery or something, so maybe after a couple of years that might go. Because that was the first thing that died on my old phone.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, no, I'm really liking it. So I say go with the Moto X, especially if you're on Verizon and you want to do off contract. There's not a lot of other choices.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cool. Well, there you go. Europeans who have been waiting for the Moto X, let's hope that announcement is for you. Because I know a lot of people overseas are just like, why? You know, it's U.S. only. So they hear, you know, on this show in particular, we talk about Moto X all the time. It's like, great. That's something that we can't get right now and haven't been able to for a really long time. So I hope that they can. Let's take a quick break and thank our other sponsor of today's episode, 99 Designs. They actually helped.
Hello. They did.
This logo down there.
That logo down there at MakerMat.com.
That is awesome. Cool. I didn't even know that was the case.
I saved it for this.
You are a smart man. So what is 99 Designs? 99, there it is.
That's the logo.
It's a fantastic logo.
Nice.
They designed it.
99 Designs connects people looking for great graphic designs with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers from all over the world. Whether you need a new logo like MakerMat here, business card, mobile app, t-shirt, really any other kind of graphic design, you're going to find the right designer for your project at 99 Designs. And it's very simple. Here's how it works. You tell 99 Designs what you need. Dozens of designers from their community are going to submit designs created just for you, give the designers your feedback to help them refine their designs, and then select and pay for your favorite. We have Daniel here who has used – how was your experience? Like, what
amazing.
Happened in your experience?
It was amazing.
Like, what was –
well,
explain the steps.
Basically, I went there, and I explained what the MakerMat was, what the concept was, and within a few hours, I started receiving designs, and by the end of
That's
it,
crazy.
I think I had 60
hours.
Designs. Now, I've been an art director for a few years back in the day, so, you know, it took some direction, but honestly, the last 10 designs, it was so hard to choose because they were all fantastic.
All solid. Yeah, I imagine so.
But, you know, then I went around and I asked a bunch of friends and some colleagues about what they thought, and ultimately we chose the one we had, and I'm absolutely thrilled with it, and the price
awesome.
Was amazing. So
yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, it's a great service. I mean, you know, not everybody capable of coming up with their own designs on their own. I know I'm not, so this would be perfect for me. And actually, if you're developing an Android app, you can get anything from icons to buttons for your entire mobile app designed
at the 99 Designs Marketplace. Check out these amazing apps that are actually being kind of shown off here on the screen. There's just a ton of apps that you can kind of look at to see what's been done in the past, you know, how many submissions there were, what the different options were, and what the winner was. Just a great way to get that designed for you and take the pressure off of you to come up with it yourself. So you can start your next graphic design project for as low as $199. Visit 99designs.com/AAA. That'll get you a $99 Power Pack of services for free. Power Pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will actually bold, highlight, and feature your design project in the 99 Designs Marketplace. You're going to get nearly twice as many designs as well. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to check it out for yourself. And we thank 99 Designs for their continued support of All About Android. You guys are great. And
Awesome.
Really appreciate you coming back week after week. All right, without further ado, let's get to apps. This is an interesting app segment because all of these apps, in one way or another, strangely, have been in the arena.
We picked the good ones. Yahoo acquired Aviate, which is an intelligent home screen replacement. And so, Jason, did you you brought in Aviate into the arena? I guess episode 131.
Yes, and nice. It didn't win. It didn't win in the arena.
Oh, interesting, but Yahoo still picked it up.
Yahoo's picking
up
the
whatever.
They got it for less because it didn't win in the arena.
You should be an advisor,
apparently.
So I didn't get the chance to actually try Aviate because it's in beta and they're only releasing, I don't know, I think they're releasing 25,000 tester codes. But
right.
there's a video on the Play Store page. And the idea is very Google Now-ish, in my opinion. And this seems to be a very similar, I feel like a lot of new apps that I see, I think that's a lot like Google Now. And that could be because Google Now does a lot of things. But the idea is that it's a customized launcher for your phone. So you install Aviate and it organizes your apps into different categories. And depending on where you are, for example, if you go to the gym, it will bring up your Nike Plus app, your gym apps. If it's, you know, close to bedtime, it'll bring up your alarm clock. It basically customizes and kind of brings forward or emphasizes the stuff you want to do on your phone based on your location and time of day and your habits. Actually, also on the home screen, I was going to install it, but it says, on the Play Store page, it says on the Play Store page, you know, if you're the kind of user who likes to make heavy customizations to your phone, this isn't the launcher or the home screen for you. This kind of just takes over your home screen for you and does a lot for you and learns who, you know, where you go and what you do and what kind of apps you use and what context. But I really like the idea of something that just sort of makes your phone smarter and doesn't require you to organize your icons or, you know, dig through menus to find your gym apps or, you know, what you should order at a particular restaurant.
Yeah, do we think this kind of fits in at Yahoo and Yahoo's kind of greater kind of movement right now with Marissa Meyer?
I think they're geared towards, they really know their customers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I don't really use Yahoo that much, but so I really can't comment on how this is going to work with them, but I like the innovations that they're constantly putting out. And, you know, if it sticks, we'll know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Aviate's a very cleanly designed app that, like you said, kind of takes over everything. You're not going to get a whole lot of customization in the way that you're used to with Android if you have Aviate installed. So you're kind of putting all your eggs into the Aviate basket,
right, right,
and saying, you just handle all of this for me. And I ran it for a while. I think for me, I'm just so locked into the traditional launcher that it's hard for me to replace a launcher with, you know, a third-party launcher for much longer than a week or two before I'm like, no, okay, I got to go back. But I could see how this would continue to be very useful for people that just want to set it, let it do all the smart things, and
right,
forget it. And, you know,
well,
just
I have a lot
it.
Of friends that just don't, they're daunted by the whole, all of
right,
the selections that are in Android, even by the default launcher. So
mm-hmm,
something that helps them along the way, or, you know, people that are not very tech savvy,
right,
or the Luddites out there, you
mm-hmm
know, they just don't like it, but they want a smartphone, but they don't want to take care of it.
Right.
So it's an interesting concept.
And this seems to jive with what Yahoo's been doing with the new weather app and the Flickr overhaul. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like they're really trying to make, you know, personalized, relevant tools, particularly on mobile. I think that they've got a hard road ahead of them, though. I mean, I think that that you know, Google Now and sort of some of the things that Google's doing with their default launcher, you know, are very similar. And you know, look, Google being the kind of steward of Android in a lot of ways, they kind of have a leg up on really anybody else, not just Yahoo.
Yeah.
But if Yahoo can innovate around the personalization and make a tool for people to set it and forget it, it sounds like it's a simplify and forget it. You know, install this and it'll just do it for you. Then they might have something here.
Right, right. Another app that we heard a lot about, well, just today, it's a new service. I feel like we've been hearing about some new service that Twitter co-founder Biz Stone has been working on for months. Finally unveiled, it's cross-platform app and service called Jelly. It syncs with your Facebook and Twitter account so that you can ask a question or answer questions based on your network and kind of the extension of your network. And I was on the site this morning. I was on the site watching the video and listening to Biz Stone talk about, you know, how they went out for a walk and they thought of this really cool way to kind of get questions and answers and everything. And as he was explaining it, I was like, man, this sounds really familiar to me. Turns out in episode 6, I brought an app to the arena called Pupil. Now, Pupil did the same thing. It's basically using a network, and it was a little different. It didn't tie into your social networks. You signed up for Pupil, and you said, I know a lot about technology, home and garden, whatever. You tick off the categories of things that you would be okay being asked about. And then it was the same exact thing. Take a picture of something and say, what is this building? And send it out to the architecture list. And it would go out to all the people that signed up to receive for architecture. So it was a little bit different, but it's the same kind of function. And I think the problem that Pupil always had is that there just was not critical mass. There wasn't enough people in the network to make it incredibly useful, although the promise was really great. So you might see this idea become pretty, you know, a lot more successful, obviously, with Jelly, just because there will be that critical mass.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing is to get the people using it.
The network.
You get the input from everybody, mm-hmm. crowdsourcing. So
right.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and I was playing around with it. I actually have it installed on the Nexus 5 here. Let me see.
I have it installed, and someone in my network did ask a question. Why did the Knicks torture me so much this year? So I don't know if that's a question that I can answer or if it's really an answerable question with a photo of the presumably the Knicks game.
Yeah. I mean, I was thumbing through the questions earlier, and there wasn't a single one that I felt like I could give a great answer to. I have it up here, Brian, if you want to show it. But basically, so... you know, so you basically presented with a question. Is any one bottled water brand better than others, with a picture of Dasani? If you swipe up, you can see all of the different, you know, answers. I like Acqua Panna. Any brand that sells a reusable bottle, blah, 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 blah. So all of these different answers are displayed from all of the people in the network. And, yeah, it's just kind of an interesting way. If I wanted to take a picture, I could take a picture of that cable. Which actually is what I did when I was showing off Pupil, because it's just the easiest thing to do during a show. And then I could send it out and I could say, what is this? And then my network would be the ones that would be presented with it and hopefully help me out. So interesting. I'll be curious to see how successful it is, but I guarantee you it's going to be more successful than Pupil was, just based on numbers alone. You need a lot of people in the network in order to make it.
It's a cool concept.
Really good. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely. Q&A is really hard to do well, and it's kind of cool to see, like, the evolution of Q&A, like, over... And you have, like, the old-school Ask Yahoo and Ask Metafilter, and then you see, like, Quora, and, you know, Facebook Questions got launched and then sort of just died. I mean, I think, you know, you have to... I think that once somebody does get the sort of go-to Q&A app, and maybe Jelly's it, maybe it isn't, I think that there's something really powerful about that, right? Mm-hmm. Because, like, searching only goes so far. I mean, Google's trying to do this with research, right? But asking your friends is the thing, you know, that you really want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Peers. You want your peer review.
Yeah. You want your peers. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So last bit of apps news, Google acquired the alarm clock developer, the timely alarm clock developer, this company Bitspin, and made premium in-app content free. This team also developed the Tasks app, which was a very popular Google Tasks third-party app as well. And this timely alarm clock was also in the arena. It won the arena in episode 124.
And so was Tasks in episode 62 and won there.
Oh, that's an early episode. I feel like the early episode arena wins have like a little more weight because you guys started the show and like the kind of some of the like really meaty like.
It was hard. Yeah, it was hard to find no-brainer apps in the early days. It took a while.
Yeah.
Right.
Now we feel
so
spoiled.
So two arena wins get acquired by Google. In-app purchases like themes, sounds, and challenges are now free inside Timely Alarm Clock, which looks really nice. I wasn't doing the show. I don't think at 124. So I'm gonna install it. And it's been said that further development of Timely will likely slow down. So it sounds like this is an acquihire rather than an acquisition of the actual apps.
Yeah.
Most likely for this team's visual design skills.
Yeah, and improving Google's own clock, possibly.
Yeah, I think this is the year for the UI, and this is a very clean looking app, and as far as a service, and you know, clocks are overlooked, and you know, people have their own desire for style and design, and
yeah,
it's nice.
You know, and Timely was interesting also because it synced across devices, so you could set an alarm. And on all of your devices that are synced through Timely, that alarm's going to go off on all the devices. And it actually worked really well.
Yeah, that's really nice. That's
you can shut it off on one, and then it's going to shut it off on all of them and just make sure that you get that alarm no matter what device you're using. You know, for a lot of people, that might not have a whole lot of utility because they only use their phone or whatever. But definitely a nice key feature of that app. So
I see that becoming a part of Google Now, perhaps.
Oh, some sort of like alarm between multiple devices. That's
I set alarms quite a bit.
Yeah,
on
Now. So. And when you do that, it doesn't necessarily happen across devices, does it? Does it only happen on the device?
No, it does. In fact, the Play key will have Google Now is on the Play key. So yeah, if I set an alarm, it will set the reminder. It's a reminder, actually.
Right.
Yeah, it's a reminder.
Sorry,
yeah.
I set reminder, not alarm. So I don't know about the alarm.
I'm not sure either. Well, cool. So that's Timely getting snapped up by Google, and I think that's a pretty darn good pick. Although, kind of a bummer if Timely goes away, which it sounds like it might.
Cool name.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Boom. All righty, let's see here. Last week we had, it was myself, Ron Richards, Aaron Newcomb, and Chief Twit, Leo Laporte, was on the show. It was our New Year's Eve episode, and we all came to the arena.
So sad I missed out on those shenanigans.
You
man.
Know what? I got to say, last week's episode was a lot of fun, A, because we've never had Leo on the show, and it was just a lot of fun from that perspective, but B, it was kind of a great roundup of the entire year, and just after that episode, I was like, you know, this was a fantastic year for Android. Android really came really far in the last year, and that's great. As the episode was called, a banner year. Anyway, so we had some great apps last week, and it turns out, let's see here. Yes, Wordiest, the game that I showed off, it still is, I think, hovering around 1,000 installs, and I'm amazed at that because it's a really great game, and I continue to play it every day. Wins with 35% of the vote. Aces of the, is it Luftwaffe, I think?
Luftwaffe, yeah.
Yeah, okay, there we go. 32%. Second place, Clash of Clans, that was Leo's pick, 30% at 28%, 28% third place. And fourth place, Ron with his News Plus, 6%. If Ron was here, he'd be going first. But neither of you were here, so I'll just go ahead and go first, and we'll throw the order completely out of whack here. I don't know if I can necessarily show off my app on my phone because it would reveal too many personal details and information, you know, about my friends and my family and stuff. So I'm not going to show it off on my device, but I'll tell you about it, and you've probably heard of it before. It's called Talkatone. And the reason that I picked this is because I recently switched to T-Mobile, their $30 plan, has 100 minutes in a month. And I was like, oh, man, there's no way. I don't even talk on the phone anymore. Like, that's a piece of cake. Like, I'm never going to blow through 100 minutes. Of course, I did this in the middle of December, right before Christmas.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know. I think it was actually Christmas Day where I was talking to my mom and my dad, and suddenly the phone hung up. I'm like, what just happened? Oh, right. I don't have any minutes. I have 100 minutes, and I blew through it quickly. So I was like, okay, so that's not going to work. I have, you know, 20 days until my renewal. I could either re-up right now or find a solution, a VoIP solution, a true VoIP solution. What Talkatone allows you to do, it's free. There is a $1 per month upgrade that you can do if you want better quality, which I did. What's a buck a month for better quality? It ties into your Google Voice. So essentially, you use your Google Voice number through Talkatone, and it essentially gives you true voice over IP connectivity. So Talkatone has kind of saved me from having to, you know, spend another $30 to renew my minutes through T-Mobile or whatever the cost would be. Maybe it's less than that, but I just decided to try this, and honestly, I've been really happy with the results. I'm sure there are other voice over IP apps out there that do something similar. You get a little bit of kind of tinniness in the audio quality, and there's a little bit of extra latency based on what it's doing, but totally within reason. And the tinniness goes away a little bit if you do the dollar a month, because that's what it does. It gives you better bandwidth, essentially, both on Wi-Fi as well as on mobile network when you're out and about. But it's been awesome. I've had a call drop, you know, maybe two times since I've been using it the past 15 or so days now. And I don't know. I've just been really happy with it. It's a great kind of alternative solution. If you happen to run out of minutes and you don't want to pay extra for more minutes or whatever.
That sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, it's true VoIP, and it's just using my unlimited data on T-Mobile. So I'm not really paying much extra for it. So
I have unlimited data on T-Mobile too. I didn't know you could get it with just 100 minutes. Is that...
It's an interesting thing that you have to kind of jump through some hoops. I'll show you a link for it for the plan, because you don't get it if you go into the store, into the T-Mobile store. It's online only. I'll show it to you. You basically have to get them to deliver you a SIM card and then register that SIM card not through T-Mobile in the store. You have to do it online. And then it's a $30 plan with unlimited data, unlimited text, and 100 minutes.
Because I'm paying like 70 phone. For
yes,
unlimited.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's a hoop jump I'd like to jump through.
Yes. And then with Talkatone, you're saved if you go over your minutes. So that's why I wanted to mention it. It's not necessarily an app that's unheard of. Like, it has over 1 million installs. So people have probably heard of it already. But it saved my bacon, and I'm going to continue using it when I run out of minutes, if I run out of minutes.
That's a good app. I'm
there
in trouble.
You go. that is talk.
You save money, you know. That's
there. You go. And I will say, the design of it is okay. I feel like there are ways that they can improve the design. The more you use it, I don't know. There are just some.
That's a cute UI.
Some designs that I think kind of harken back to some older versions of Android, maybe a little bit too much, but more or less. Oh no, are you serious? Brian, do you have breaking news? Even though this isn't totally breaking news, but why not? Okay, this is, there we go. Web7212 in the chat room just bursted my bubble and said, Talkatone will be killed next year.
But that doesn't mean you can't win the arena.
That's true.
Because it's still
It'll work until it doesn't work anymore. or actually, it's going to be killed this year. And actually, now that I'm seeing this, yes, I do remember hearing about this. This was last October 31st. This was this was on Halloween when we found out about KitKat, and I think this is based on some of the new features of KitKat. So don't get too attached to it. I think I just lost the arena. Oh, well.
It's a limited edition now. That's what
I mean. So I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do when it goes away?
Get it while you can. Vote
I know, right?
Can.
Well, it's been great while it lasted, Talkatone. Jeez. All right, there we go. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. I hear taps playing in my brain. So, Daniel, I assume your app is not going anywhere.
No, in fact, I'm really pleased, because I actually have sent support emails to the developer a few times, and they responded very quickly. And anybody that is on a Mac, I use Little Snitch a lot. It tells me what's going on in my network or on my Mac, you know, data, what's going through, and you know, it's basically a firewall. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, on Android, I really don't have that. But what I do have is what's called, what is it called? Network Monitor. There's a pro version, and then there's a free version. And what it does is it tells you what the bandwidth is at any given time. I don't know if you can I Can you?
What's that?
It's at the top. Up
oh,
here.
It's up at the very top.
Actually, probably better for you to show the actual app page because it kind of shows what it is. Because it basically just sits at the top of your Pro, but it's got settings for the network monitor, so it shows you what the bandwidth is going on. So at any given time, you can just glance at the top of your device, whether it's your phone or your tablet or your HDMI device, and it will tell you what's downloading and what's uploading at the speed. And it allows you to see, hey, you know, you're downloading 3 megabits per second. And if you look at it, you say, well, what's downloading? And at that point, they've also got a beta service that will tell you which app is downloading at that speed. So it's a great way to tell what's eating your bandwidth at the time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just upload and download. But you can configure it to be anywhere on the screen. So you can say, I want to have it on the center or the bottom. You can change the color of it. You can change the font, the width, the height. It's a very good tool. So like I said, I use Little Snitch to tell me what's going on the Mac, and this is kind of an answer to it. And they also have another app that tells you what your processor is doing too. It's a cool app. It's called Network Monitor. There's a pro version, which I do, because I think that gets rid of the little notification bar. So check it out. Yeah.
Man, this reminds me of another app too. It may be by the same developer. You said they do another.
They do an app that's it monitors your CPU and your RAM as well. I use it a lot for the Play Key because it can tell me what's going on with the device, especially when I'm testing games on the device, because I want to see if the performance of the game is eating a lot of processing
right,
power.
Yeah.
So I can tell what the downloads are for multiplayer and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and also what the performance is of the RAM and the processors. You can actually take an average, because this is a 4-core processor on the Play Key, so you can take an average of the cores, or you can say, I want to just see what the first core is.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm talking about the other app. I should be talking about Network.
No, that's okay.
but they do two apps.
they kind of fall into the same category. Yes, no, that's awesome, and it kind of overlays it kind of out of view for the most part.
Yeah, it's not intrusive. So I gray mine out. I adjust the opacity. You can barely see it at the top.
You really
that
can.
Way it's not. That way it's not burning. Well, I'm like, you know, about trying to not burn the screen. So, but right up here at the top.
Yeah.
You can barely
it's there
see
if you
it.
Want it.
It says upload and it's download. So at any given time, I can tell, hey, you know, what's going on with the network. So it's got a lot of customization. So if you check out the free version and see what you think. And the developer is really good if you have any questions. And so that's
awesome.
Network Monitor.
Network Monitor Mini through the Play Store if you're looking for it. Exactly. Cool. So that's Talkatone Network Monitor Mini. And then, Gina, I believe I have your app installed. I'll try and show it off while you talk about it.
I realize, Jason, that you probably aren't going to be able to demo it being in Petaluma.
Okay.
But I'll talk about it. So my app pick this week is called City Mapper. And the goal of the app is to make the world's most complicated cities kind of easy to navigate. So
the reason why
I don't think you're going to be able to demo it, Jason, is because it's specifically for New York, London, and Paris.
Tell me this is in Beijing.
Yeah, this is not. Oh no, not yet. Ugh. Although they are taking requests for more complicated cities. And so I know this like really narrows the audience quite a bit, but I love this app. I just moved back to New York City, and you know I grew up here, so I know my way around. But so many things have changed. I haven't lived here in 7 years. So many things have changed. There are new buses, City Bike launched. There are new subway routes. There's new everything, and getting around requires a lot of Google mapping on my part. And Google Maps does a lot of the things that City Mapper does, but not quite everything. City Mapper is this really personalized view of basically how to navigate one of these cities, New York or London or Paris. So you enter in your places. So for me, I've got home and I've got work and I've got my best friend's house. And you open up City Mapper and you just say, get me home. Tonight, I'm going to say, get me home. And City Mapper will tell you with real-time updates and maps of the subway and the tube and the bus and tell you how long it's going to take to get home by taxi, by bike, depending on the time of day and the status of the different public transportation methods. It'll suggest, like you can see in the screenshot here, a couple of different journeys, how much it costs, how much time it'll take you, how many calories you'll burn in the process, I mean, a really, really nice, straightforward way of saying, hey, you know, just last week, I flew up from North Carolina. I was at JFK. I was like, hey, I need to get to the office. City Mapper knew how to take the air train to the subway, just told me exactly where to go. My only regret is it doesn't work underground because when you don't have a data connection.
Right.
So just really, really, really nice UI. And I hope that Google Maps takes a bunch of cues from City Mapper or acquires them or what. And I hope that City Mapper spreads to more cities. I feel like Beijing would be a great place
there.
to expand to. But if you go to visit New York, London, or Paris, install this app. It's really, really, really nice. It really does. The goal is to make complicated cities more usable, and it really does. I feel like I'm kind of, you know, navigating around the city like someone who's been living here the whole time. So and it's free and really nice. Just, you know, you enter in your favorite places, you star places, and you just say get me there, and you've got all your options to
That's
do
awesome.
So.
That UI is beautiful.
Yeah, it is a really beautiful UI. Mm-hmm. Really nice experience.
Right on. That looks great. You're right. There is not a version for Petaluma. It's too bad.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it's going to be a little limiting.
The city of Petaluma is just wow.
Massive.
I don't know how I walk from four blocks away to work every morning. So that's City Mapper. Awesome pick. So it's Talkatone, Network Monitor, Mini, and City Mapper. And as we're going, I'm just feeling more and more stupid. We talked about the whole voice apps going away around KitKat. Like we totally talked about it. I just completely forgot about it. So Talkatone maybe doesn't deserve to win in the arena, but still useful until May 2014. Thank you. I appreciate the taps. That makes my heart feel, I don't know what it makes me feel like, but not great. Google's shutting down the XMPP interface that is used by these apps. So that's why it's going away. So that's going to happen. Who knows? Maybe this functionality will be built into Hangouts at some point.
You can
make VoIP calls through Hangouts.
Well, they need to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Web7212, for being such a downer. Anyways.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, wah, wah. Okay, so this week's poll. You can vote. Let your voice be heard. AAApoll.com/143. Is the place to go, AAApoll.com/143, to let us know which is your favorite app of the week. Is it Talkatone, Network Monitor Mini, or City Mapper? And Brian just voted City Mapper. Network Monitor Mini, though, strong,
Network
78%
Monitor
out in the lead. We'll see where this settles.
Even with my lousy demo. Jeez.
I think Daniel's got this one.
That says a lot about their little advertisement on the Google Play, because my demo was lousy.
I think you need to give yourself more credit. Your demo was not as lousy as mine.
Yeah. Okay.
City Mapper's pretty geographically limited. Talkatone might be going away. I think Network Monitor Mini's got, I'm just going to call it.
Sometimes the arenas are super close and you have no idea. Other times you're like, yeah, Daniel's going to win.
Coming around the bend.
So we'll see where that ends up. Fantastic episode. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for letting me talk about the certification.
Absolutely. I think it's a great thing, a great topic of discussion on the show, and more people need to get involved in that if possible. And you put off an air flight home. You were supposed to fly home, and
we were supposed to fly back yesterday. It's no big deal. It worked out because of we were flying into Chicago, and the weather was so bad, they didn't charge us for pushing our flight because we couldn't have flown out anyway.
That's
so how
awesome.
About that? It's
I feel really good about
good
that.
It's all kismet. So.
Exactly. It was meant to be. Well, so Daniel, this is your chance to kind of plug whatever. I mean, obviously you already have, but where can people kind of go to take part?
Basically, if you want to help out with the Miwa project, please Google Plus me, or you can email us at support@miwaplay.com. And we're looking for lead developers again in leadership roles. I've been Google Plus stalking a few developers, and I think now that we have announced this project, I'm probably going to be contacting them within the next few days, and we will be sending developer kits out to them. That'll include a maker mat and two versions of the play key. So if you're a developer and you want to be a part of the project, give us, you know, Google Plus me.
Awesome. That's Daniel Leetzan, LIETZAN. And you'll find him on Plus. Absolutely. Thank you. This was great. And Gina, man, it's good having you back on the show. And you've got some really cool ThinkUp stuff right around the corner, don't you?
I do. ThinkUp is launching on January 15th, which is next week-ish. I'm trying not to think about it when I'm not doing the shows. I'm typing a lot and mousing. Yeah. So that's really exciting. In the meantime, you can see everything I'm up to at ginatrapani.org. I'm very excited to be back tomorrow, this week in Google with Leo and Jeff. So you should stop by and watch that at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern here on Twit.
They are going to be going crazy over your connectivity because it's been it's been so solid
looks
the
awesome.
Entire show,
and it just
looks great. And not to mention you, it's awesome.
Yeah,
to have you back.
Gina in full HD, that looks great.
Thank you, Gina, and I'm happy you made it to the East Coast safe and all that. I'm sure that was not a whole lot of fun traveling cross country.
So. A little cold. It's a little cold here.
I understand, Brian. You, sir, are awesome. Thank you for being the TD for the show.
Thank you for doing a good show.
Where can people find you?
Well, at cranky_hippo on Twitter. But if you want to check out my Google+, brianburnett.com takes you to that. And I actually did a little write-up on my impressions for the Moto X. So if you want to check that out.
The email.
And I've got
Absolutely. It was Robert in Grovetown. Find Brian Burnett on Google+ and read all about it. About hippo that? Phone.
That's awesome.
I'm going to have to ask you about this whole hippo thing.
You can tell me about ray gun stuff.
I guess they're probably of the same ilk, actually. So. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my musical exploits at yellowgoldmusic.com. And find me on Google+. I'm plus Jason Howell. Kind of makes sense. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Chat room, you guys are always awesome. Thank you for joining us. And just for being a part of the show, it's even better when you're along for the ride. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email at AAA@twit.tv, or you can send us a video link in that email, and we'll play your video on the show. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Reddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. We have a subreddit there. Vote stories up and down. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.